Behind me, you see the Israeli geographical shape. That's a weird shaped country, isn't it? Well, because man chopped it up. But anyways, it is that's most of what God promised them, that shape. And a week from tonight, Brother Rick and I will not be at Wednesday night service. We'll be on the road to New Jersey, and we'll stay the night in the airport. We'll just kind of hang out. We'll just, because we want to catch our morning flight, which leaves for Tel Aviv the next morning. So we'll just snack, and we'll try to eat somewhat healthy, right, Rick? But, you know, you get kind of tired. It's really easy to get in junk food. So just, I'm sure Terry will remind me before I leave the house, don't just eat pure junk. But anyways, we'll be doing what Ben and I did last year. We were hanging out in California airport. Anyways, just trying to keep ourselves awake. And anyways, the next morning, Thursday morning, the 16th, we leave for Tel Aviv. We'll arrive on Friday at about 4:30 in the morning. So Friday, that's the 17th of July, a week from this Friday, we'll be in Tel Aviv. Our taxi man will pick us up. We have plans to have lunch with Avi and his wife. Some of you know Pastor Avi, who runs the Dugit ministry and also a church there in Tel Aviv. We're going to have lunch with them. And that evening, we're going to attend their service. So we're going to hit the ground running. No time, no rest for the weary. We'll hit the ground running. We'll be a part of their church service. That will be a real eye-opener to see how Messianic Jews worship Jesus. And it'll just be an opportunity for us to be a strengthening to their body as well. You say, Pastor, you know, why are we going so far from here to plant another church? Well, I'll tell you. Years ago, the Lord turned us on to a principle, and it was real simple. I heard a teaching, and it was amazing teaching. It changed forever the financial flow of our church. When a man taught, to the Jew first. You ever heard that phrase? That's not just Bible fluff. It actually has meaning. And Paul said, the gospel belongs to the Jew first, right? Because they brought us our Messiah. Amen. From them comes the Messiah. So it's to the Jew first, rightfully, that we take the gospel. So it may seem, you know, kind of odd to go from, you know, this location here in Alvin, Texas, way across the world to plant a church. You say, well, why don't we plant one down the road? We will eventually, but to the Jew first. That's what we're doing. And we may be the only ones crazy enough to try it, but we're going to do it. And anyways, we're going to have a meeting Sunday night. I love the verse on this map. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing. That's from Colossians 1:6. Paul said that. This gospel is growing and bearing fruit. It's going to bear fruit in Israel in Jesus' name. Amen. And so our endeavor this trip is to plant a church, get some people saved, get them baptized in the Sea of Galilee, and begin formulating a group that we can meet with either Zoom calls or however we do it initially. And we're going to build a church in Israel by God's grace. Amen? So that's what we're doing. If you have any questions on that, again, we still have a bit outstanding in our financial need for the trip. That's not a heavy. I know God will meet the need. But if the Lord lays on your heart, if you haven't up until now understood why we're doing what we're doing, or you haven't felt to give, there's still time to give. There's still opportunity, and we thank those that have given. We're not trying to pull out of you, you know, more and more and more, but there are some that probably haven't given yet because you haven't understood fully our heart. But I hope what I just shared tonight will help you, and we'll say a little bit more on it Sunday. But it's going to be a great time in the Lord. Amen. God's going to do great things. And we just appreciate your help, your support. Your financial giving puts you in the running for the harvest. Amen. What we bring back harvest-wise is to your credit, to your account. Those of you that have sowed, you're sowing your finances, your prayers into this trip. You're going to reap the harvest. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're excited to continue our series on the kingdom culture. Basically, what we're saying with that is, how should a Christian live? How should this play out in our daily lives? And so Pastor Terry is going to come at this time. She's going to bring the word. Give her a big welcome as she comes. God's laid something good on her heart.
Thank you. I like that background. That's pretty. You picked it? Good job. Praise the Lord. Well, we've had some great sessions, right? I've been so blessed by the different ones who have shared, Ben and Audrey, and then Jake shared. But I loved how the Holy Spirit has just been knitting them together, all the different ways. In my notes, I keep going back to it, going, oh, look what you're saying. And I wanted to, the tendency was to get my notes out and just rehearse what had been said. And I thought, no, that's not what I'm up there to do tonight. But I love all the things that have been said. They have been impactful to me, and they've helped me a lot. So I hope you guys will listen, pay attention. And if you haven't listened, jump on the website. They're there, right? Yeah, they're on there. So listen and jump in there and see what God is doing. I'm grateful. You know, first of all, during the worship time, I felt like the Lord put on my heart that there's some people in here that are struggling with some oppression. And we're just going to pray about that right now. You know, we have the name of Jesus, and you say, what is oppression? Sometimes it's just a feeling, you know, and the enemy can just come and just put some pressure. And it can be, you know, whatever. Oppression can look 100 different ways. Who cares? Whatever. Jesus came to make us free. So if that's you, just pop up out of your chair. I'm going to pray right now. Father, I just pray for those in the room that are struggling with oppression. And I just call out this spirit in the name of Jesus that would come to put this demonic feeling of darkness over people that's saying they can't make it. They're not going to make it through. Whatever it is that they're facing, I speak freedom over the body of Christ right now in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, Father, for them going free tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, you said that we have authority over all the demons. We have authority over oppression because of the name of Jesus. And I declare tonight we go free right now in Jesus' name. Let's just give him praise. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for giving us your name. We thank you, Lord, that you said that we could be free and we could walk in joy and peace and goodness, Lord. I thank you for that. Just ministering to the body of Christ tonight in this room, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's so good. Yes. He's so good. He's so good. You know, he's been speaking to me today about gratefulness, being thankful. And that's kind of a, how do I say it? I've talked about this before, but when we're grateful for things, it sets us up for multiplication. You know, I tell the story about my black oven, you know, that I was over, you know, it was old and it was giving me trouble. And the Lord said, you're not getting nothing, a new stove, oven, range, until you get grateful for what you have. And I was like, yes, sir. And I started giving thanks every time I'd cook a meal on that and something would come out not right. I was thankful. Because you think about it, in America, we still have some of the finest everything in the whole world. Where we sit, the cars we drive, everything. It's the finest in the world. And we're a grateful people, right? So that's for somebody here tonight too. Let's get thankful. Just like Jesus took the bread, what did he do? He broke it and he gave thanks. And what happened? Multiplication. So that's a principle of the kingdom. So let's make sure that we are grateful for what we have. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to jump into this. So y'all put your seatbelts on. Tonight we're going to talk about praying the word. Praying the word. Seems so simple. My story is this. Came out of the world, stepped into a church, and I stepped into a singles group over here at Living Stones. And a woman took me under her wing and began to teach me how to pray the word. She taught me how to get my Bible, open it up. And she said, you look in the epistles and all of the scriptures, she said, mark the ones in, you know, we said pink. She had hers marked pink in her Bible, so I got a pink marker. That's what I did. But all the scriptures that I could pray over myself, what are we talking about? The Ephesians prayers, the Colossians, Philippians, all the things that talks about, like we, one of the scriptures for this session was walking in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. When we pray the word back to him, so I could just sit and flip through my Bible. And she taught me how to do that, and it really transformed me. It helped me, and I'm so appreciative of that woman today for what she invested in me as a person. You know, she took time to talk to me, and she'd say, you can come pray with me anytime. She was full-time staff at the church, and her job was to pray. And she'd say, you can come in this little room and sit down with me, and we prayed, and she taught me, and it was so good for me. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight is praying the word. There's so many different ways in the scriptures that we see that we can bring our requests before God, where we can see things change. But this is one of them that's very, very powerful. And you say, what in the world is praying the word? We're talking about praying the Holy Scriptures. We're praying them back to God, right? The word of God is his heart. It's his will. And when we say, not just say them, but when we pray them back to him, there's this powerful connection that happens. We're joining with him and power is released. So we're going to talk about that tonight. It's getting our hearts and our mouths in agreement with God's ways and provision for our situation. So I want you just to be thinking about what is your situation? What do you want to pray about? because we're going to have homework at the end of tonight. So, yep. I know Audrey's like, oh my gosh, no homework. But be thinking about that. What do you want to pray about, you know, this next week? We're going to have next week to do it. So, and you say, okay, what does that look like? So say maybe you're fearful. Maybe you've been dealing with fear on your finances or your home or safety, whatever it is. What would you do? So a scripture that I like to pray over myself, this scripture is wonderful for a lot of different reasons or applications, but it's Isaiah 41:10. And what I do is when I'm praying the word, I read it first, and I like to say what I call the address, you know, where I find it in the Bible. But then I flip it and I begin to pray it. And I like to read it first because it helps me with memorization. I'll find when I pray the scriptures over time, I've memorized them. I know where they're at in my Bible. I know I can turn, you know, to them. So that's a powerful piece of it too. But if I was going to pray this scripture, the first thing I do, like I said, would be to read it. Verse 10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That's amazing, right? So then I would go back and I would pray it. Lord, I thank you that I do not fear because you are with me. I don't anxiously look about me because you are my God. You strengthen me. You help me. And surely you uphold me with your righteous right hand. Isn't that powerful? Well, what are we doing? We're not just saying words, but we're praying from our heart, the word of God. We're honoring the word of God in that way. Somebody said it this way. They said, God has given us his word so we can put it into our hearts and pray prayers back to him that are productive, full of faith and power. I'm going to say that again. God has given us his word so we can put it into our hearts and pray prayers back to him that are productive, full of faith and power. I love that. Isaiah 55:10 and 11. This is kind of the foundation where we see how the word works when we pray it out of our mouth. It's a principle as I see it. In verse 10, it says, "As the rain and snow come down from heaven." This is Isaiah 55:10 and 11. "As the rain and snow come down," so he's making a comparison, "and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the manner for which I sent it." So you see, he's comparing the word. As the word is sown, it's just like when the rain and the snow come down. What happens? I was thinking about how much rain we had had recently. And in my backyard, I have these... they're called black diamond crepe myrtles. They're kind of a spindly crepe myrtle. You know, most crepe myrtles grow into big trees, but these are kind of spindly and tall, and they have black leaves on them, which makes them beautiful when they flower. They have like these, the color of the ones that I have are kind of a watermelon color. And the rain all came down. You know, we had all this rain. So my little crepe myrtles back there, they're kind of in between some other landscaping, but they're so pretty. But what is that a result of? The rain that's come down? What happens when the word is sent out? It changes things, right? It begins to flower. Barrenness becomes fruitful. Supplies increase. What did the word say there? It says it furnishes seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So it supplies. And it accomplishes what God desires and succeeds in the matter. So he's saying, just like the rain, when my word goes forth, it does those things. It supplies what is needed. It causes the barren to become fruitful. It changes things, and it accomplishes what God desires. Reinhard Bonnke said this. He said, "God's word in your mouth are the same as God's words in his mouth." That's pretty powerful, right? God's words in your mouth are the same as God's words in his mouth. So when we say them as sons and daughters of God, We have that same authority because Jesus is on the inside of us. So when we pray those prayers, we're praying them back to God, but there's also this there's a declaring that happens, and it sets things in motion, right? Because it's the imperishable seed. It's so powerful. We're praying the promises of God back to him from our heart. That's what praying the word is. So when you hear people say that, we're not just praying according to the scriptures, but we're actually praying the word out of our mouth. God has given us his word. Oh, I said this. I'm going to say this again. I read it earlier, but it says, God has given us his word so we can put it into our hearts and pray the prayers back to him that are productive, full of faith and power. I said that before, but I thought I'm going to say that again. Praise the Lord. So five steps tonight, practical steps to praying the word and praying over your situation and seeing it turn around. Number one, find out what the word says. Find out what the word says. And you say, what if I don't know? I don't know how to pray prayers. I've got a situation and I don't know any scriptures on that. I've not done this before. What would you do? Well, there's prayer books out there. And when I say a prayer book, I'm not talking about, let's don't play games with prayer books that don't pray with power, okay? Find a prayer book that has the word of God in it that says these are the scriptures. And so there's resources out there. And then what I like to do is just phone a friend. You know, if you're like, I don't know what to do, call somebody. Somebody, there's mighty men and women in this church, and they've been through what you're facing, and they know the word, and they can say, pray this. These are some scriptures that you can pray. I've done that before. Help me. I need some more scriptures on this. Secondly, read the Bible. This is still under find out what the word says, but you want to read the Bible, right? Because that gives the Holy Spirit something to work with. It gives him something to work with. He's given us his words so we can know his thoughts and his ways. So we've got to get in the Bible and we've got to read. God reveals his will through his word. And in 1 John 5:14-15, I'm not going to quote it, but it helps us be confident in prayer. When we know the will of God, we're sure. So the devil comes and says, Kathy, I don't think God really wants you to pay your bills this month. He wants you to suffer, right? Well, you know better than that. Because you have scriptures on it. You know that. So you have a confidence when you come before God. And he says, when you're confident and you're speaking his word back to him, we know that we have the petitions that we're asking, right? So we're praying the word. So that brings confidence. Sometimes we just need to ask God and keep our eyes turned toward him. If you're like, I'm just not sure. You know, these scriptures feel really dry to me. Sometimes they feel dry. You know, like, I need this situation. Here's some scriptures. But what do? We start putting them in our heart. But God will also speak what I call, it's the secret sauce. It's like you just need a special word, you know, for your situation. And then lastly on that one, find out what the word says. Do what you know. Do what you know. If you're like, I don't really know 10 great scriptures. I'm not like Rose and have a whole bunch of scriptures memorized. But do what you know. Say you need direction, open the Bible. He'll show you one. He'll show you. Sometimes driving down the road, you'll be like, well, there's a scripture and it speaks to my situation. But, you know, Psalm 23, what does it say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside quiet waters. You're saying I need direction right there. Thank you, Lord, that you lead me. Then it says he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. So right there in that psalm, you see it twice just in the first few scriptures that he leads me and he guides me. So begin to pray that back to him. Thank you, Lord. You're my good shepherd and you lead me and you guide me. I can trust in that. So when the devil's going, you don't hear from God, he's not going to lead you. Well, right there it says, he's my good shepherd. So when you're having trouble in the night and he's messing with you, you know, oh, you know, all the things that he says that are not true, you quote the word back to him. No, no. God says he will lead me and guide me. One of my favorite passages that I pray over myself almost every day, it's in Isaiah, I think it's 58:11. It says, I will continually guide you. I'll satisfy your desire in scorched places. I'll give strength to your bones. And you're going to be like a watered garden. Like a spring of water that doesn't fail. What is that? That's fruitfulness. Anyway, there's tons of scriptures, but that's how you would do it. When I was talking a minute ago about the secret sauce, and you say, what in the world is that? Sometimes we don't know. what to pray, but pray what you know, and then ask God for the increase in scriptures to pray, the increase in revelation. Years ago, I was going through a physical situation, and I just was not getting the manifestation that I was after. I still had a lot of pain in my body, and I was like, Lord, I was doing everything. I was listening to CDs. Well, it was CDs back then, but there was one that I would listen to almost every day. I was seeking God very diligently, but I still just needed, I was just looking for more. I said, God, there's more for me to have. And I worked a little part-time job. Rachel was still in school, and I worked for a school photography company. And we took all of the school pictures. That was such a cute job. And my job, I usually didn't have to go to the schools. That was always a ride, you know. If y'all could ever see what little kids are like on picture day, it's like, what is in your hair, you know? And we'd have to turn their shirts around backwards because they'd have, you know, chocolate milk all over the front of them, all the things. That was a fun job. But my job usually was office. I worked in the office. And so back in that day, everybody sent their money. They sent their money, checks and cash, you know, to pay for all the school pictures. And so I would sit and process hundreds of checks from all the schools, you know, that they would do. And I was in the process of seeking God. I was like, Lord, I just need more. So all the way to work, I'd listen to my stuff, pray, all the things. Lunchtime, I'd go back to my car. Well, I'm in there counting money, doing the checks. And I've told this before, but it's been a long time. But I noticed on the checks, you know, people will put scriptures on their checks, right? I noticed about 10 checks had the same scripture on it. And it was kind of, to me, a kind of an obscure scripture. And I thought, what is that scripture? And Holy Spirit was like, you see that? You know, and after about, you know, 10 of them, I was like, I think you're saying something to me. So I wrote it down on my little post-it note. Lunchtime, I went out and I looked it up. Sure enough, the situation in my body that I was facing, that scripture, that's not why they had it on their check. The last part of that scripture talked about joy. And that's what, that was why people had that scripture on there. But the first part talked about eating, being able to eat sweet food and fat food, which sounds really weird, but that's what would bring pain in my body. And he talked about having a celebration before the Lord. So that became one of my key scriptures. Every time before I would eat, I would pray that scripture. Thank you that I can eat the fat and drink the sweet, da 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 da. But it was directly to me. And that was like a really powerful scripture for me. And it began to turn my situation. So I'm saying sometimes we know scriptures, but then there's, if you're not getting the manifestation, keep looking to God and say, God, I know there's more. Give me a scripture, speak a scripture to my heart that's specifically for my situation. And he will do that. He will change. So that's my testimony on my checks. You know, it's amazing what people will put on their checks. They write all kinds of things on their checks, but the scriptures, people are reading them. They're paying attention. So not that people write checks anymore, but anyway, praise the Lord. Okay. So we're talking about finding out what the word says. So we're going to do that. We're going to be diligent. Do what you know, and he's going to meet you. Second thing, this is our number two. Pray it out loud, like I said a minute ago. So read your scripture out loud. So once you get your list of scriptures, whatever it is, if it's one scripture, or if you've got 30 scriptures, read it first and then pray it back. Like we said, pray it back to God. Thank you, Lord, for this, and begin to pray it back to God. Number one, it washes our mind of unbelief. When we hear it coming out of our mouth, your mind begins to line up with the word, and it'll be, you'll find it's powerful in flushing out little pockets of unbelief. Oh, God won't do that for me. I'm too far gone. This situation, you know, da, 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 da. The unbelief gets squished out as we pray the word because it renews our mind. And like I said this a minute ago, but when we're praying the word, we're acting like God. We're using the dominion as his sons and daughters that he would be using, right? Praise the Lord. It sets the promise in motion when we pray it out loud. So when I say the scripture out loud, it sets it in motion. Something goes in motion. Why? Because it's the imperishable seed. It's powerful. It's not just words. So we're getting in faith and we're speaking it out and it sets it in motion. Number three, this is our third one. We're going to saturate the situation with prayer and the word. When we have a situation that needs changing, we're going to saturate it. And you say, what does that mean? So we're not just going to pray it once. you know, it's Sunday and or it's Wednesday. Terry said this, I'm going to go down and pray my one scripture and forget about it. My problem's still there. No, it's like if you had your front yard and your front yard is all of the grass in the front is maybe there's been a drought. We're going to pretend like there's been a drought and it's all dry and brown grass. Well, if I took a glass of water from the kitchen, opened the door, threw it out, walked back in, my yard needed water, but it needed a whole lot more water to get it greened up than the glass I just threw on it. So the water was full of life. It just needed more. So sometimes our situations, maybe they're just at the beginning and you just, a glass of water will do it. Sometimes you need to saturate it. So don't be afraid to turn the TV off. Whatever it is that you do, put your phone down and begin to saturate your situation with the Word of God. It will definitely change things. My prescription, my minimum prescription, think about it. If you get antibiotics from the doctor, what does he say? 3 times a day, usually da-da-da-da-da. Why don't we do that with our scriptures, right? Say our word 3 times a day and be diligent about it. I have seen the power of God hit my situation when I said, I'm going to be diligent. I release my faith. I would 3 times a day. I would say my different scriptures. Maybe I had 10 scriptures or at times I've had a whole bunch of scriptures, but I would go through them. Lunchtime, I do it. I mean, in the morning, I do it. Lunchtime, I do it. In the evening, and it kept my mind renewed to the truth of the Word of God, which is ding, 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 so important. But it also, it kept the unbelief out, and then I was speaking the Word. And then I saw that this, there was a, it's like a snowball effect. Right? And so I was changing and then I found my situation was changing. So we want to saturate. So if you have a situation that needs changing, get diligent, take your prescription, you know, 3 times a day. And I like to think about it this way. How ready are you for change? How ready are you? So saturate your situation to that level. If you're like, I am desperate, I'm in a bad situation, or I'm just ready for this to be over and I want to see the power of God. Well, then get diligent, begin to sow the word. Like the words said before in Isaiah 55, it's not going to come back void. It's going to produce what it was sent out to do. Okay, number 4, meditate the scriptures. Meditate the scriptures. And you say, what does that have to do with praying them? Well, revelation comes. What is meditating? It's just thinking about it. I like to set my phone because meditation like this is, it's a discipline for me. Not be doing something else. But so I'll set my phone to a certain amount of time, whatever it is. And I just sit and think about it. Just close my eyes and think about the scriptures and ask God to help you understand the scriptures. You will be amazed at the revelation that will begin to come. Give him 2 minutes. You'll be amazed at the revelation. Take one of your scriptures and say, today or this week, I'm going to meditate this scripture every day. Close your eyes and think about the scripture. Don't let your mind wander. If it does, just take it back. But think about the words of the scripture. God will begin to unpack the power that's in that scripture. And then when you go to pray it, there'll be so much more revelation. So I encourage you, meditate the scriptures. And that's just thinking about them. Thinking about them and then asking God to help you understand what they are. It's very important. And I'll say this. When I meditate the scriptures, that's what takes it into a deeper place in my heart. And when I'm in the middle of the night, the devil wakes me up, is messing with me about whatever it is. I begin to worry about the thing, whatever it is, or, you know, you're feeling pain. The things that you've been meditating, that's what rises up in your heart. And you've been saying it too, but that those scriptures that you meditate, there's great power in that. It just imprints it in your heart in a deeper way. It's really powerful. Number 5, don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged, because what does discouragement do? Makes you quit. Makes you quit. And we don't want to quit. We want to stay in the game. And what would Pastor Al always say? He'd say, play till you win. Back in the 80s, and I thought, what? He'd say, play till you win. If you quit the game, you know, of life, the game of staying in the game, believing God, we're going to win. But if you quit and walk off, we walk off without the promises being fulfilled. So I'm saying, don't get discouraged. Some things seem like they take forever. That's okay. We have a long time. But you'll find that the devil will, once he knows we're serious and we've got our feet dug in, he'll take off. That's what I find. He's like, okay, she's really serious. Whatever, you know, I'm over it. I like to think of it this way. When situations are going on in your life, sometimes things come on real fast or you feel overwhelmed. And it's like a spinning top. I've said this before, but it's like a spinning top and it's spinning in the wrong direction. And so we can feel overwhelmed and it's honestly kind of hard to think clearly and pray clearly. That's my experience. But the word grounds me. But also when that top is spinning in the wrong direction, maybe something's been going on for a while or whatever, it can take a minute for that top to stop spinning in the wrong direction. We start speaking the word and it creates drag on that top that's going in the wrong direction. So when we are declaring the word that we've been meditating on, that we've been praying back to God and trusting him for, that top will stop and then it will start spinning in the right direction. And then as we stay involved with having the word in our mouth, having it in our heart and praying it back to God, that thing will start going in the right direction. And what happens then? The manifestation comes. The manifestation comes. So don't be discouraged. Don't quit. Praise the Lord. It may take a little bit, but the word works. You've heard people say it and it's true. Don't give up. The word works. Praise the Lord. Even when you feel overwhelmed. Allowing him entrance into your life and situation is greatly determined by what you say and pray. I'm going to say that again. Allowing God entrance into your life, so his provision, him getting involved in your situation, is greatly determined by what you say and what you pray. Rachel and I used to follow a woman, or she still does, but she would say this. She'd say, don't say and pray things if you can't say this at the end, and that's just the way I like it. You know, we want to say things, which that kind of jumps over into that whole other category. But if you can't say, and that's just the way I like it at the end, you should change what you're saying and you should change what you're praying. You know, if you say, this is the worst day of my life and that's just the way I like it, right? It's going to stay that way. It's like the idea of the elevator. I heard someone say this and she said, you can get on the elevator on the first floor. Jane and I used to work in downtown Houston and we worked on the 24th or 27th floor. When we got on, we didn't push floor one. Because we'd stay there, right? Get on, push floor one, the doors close, and the doors open back up. You're still on one if you pushed one. And if you keep saying what you have, you're still pushing one. You're not going anywhere. Your situation's changing. So we have to begin to pray what we, like Jake said last week, you know, we can see things with our optic nerves, or we can see with the eyes of our spirit. He talked about things are temporal, things are eternal. So we want to pray maybe what we don't see right now, but what we need to see, right? And we do that by praying the word, by getting in the elevator, pushing floor 27, so we'll go on up. The Lord spoke this to me the other day when I was meditating. I was trying so hard to be disciplined. but he spoke to me about something, and he said, Terry, when you speak words over and over again, it's like in your brain, it's making impressions. If you just say something once, slight impression. But if you keep saying that same thing over and over again, this is my situation, they get deeper and deeper and deeper. And two things happen. There's a natural tendency or propensity to do that thing. If I said every day, you know, I get up and I, you know, eat potato chips or whatever. I said it every day. There's going to be a leaning towards that every day. But he said there's like an impression that goes in your mind when you keep saying things. And he said, and after a while, it will actually create ruts. Not that ruts are bad in this situation. It matters what you're speaking. If you're speaking the word of God or if we're speaking the problem, right? So we want to speak the word because then, you know, when life shakes us, we're going to fall in the ruts, right? We're going to tip over into those ruts. So we want to be saying and praying the right things. We want to say the word because that elevates our faith. We're going to go in that direction. So it's important. And so I want to step back and say, it's not just about our saying. It's important that we say the right things, but the power is in the word. The power is in the word. It's God's word. So it's us partnering with God. We pray from our heart the word of God because we believe the word of God more than anything else. It is God's word to us. What a privilege to have an entire Bible in our hands. Not everybody has that, but we can pray that Bible and it's going to impress his words on us. And our situation naturally is going to go that way. Also, the change is going to come supernaturally. He gets involved. Kenneth Hagin used to say this, if you don't like what you have, stop saying what you're saying. That's like a, you know, for me, I'm like, quit fussing about it, Terry, say the word. And then lastly, I'm going to say this, as we mature, God requires some things of us. Sometimes we go, I just want to pray a simple prayer and everything changed. And sometimes it happens that way. What are you going to do if it doesn't? We're going to get mature and we're going to begin to do our part. Because sometimes God just requires things of us as we mature. Caleb is 3. I don't require him to take out the trash or anything. But if I had a 10-year-old at home, I would ask them to do things, right? Because they're more mature. 16-year-old, 20-year-old. So as we mature, God wants us to do these things. He wants us to take the word and put it in our mouth. He wants us to mature and grow up. So be encouraged with that. So I'm going to end with this. Homework. Y'all can take a picture of this. You can write it down on your phone, whatever. I want you to double up on your quiet time this next week. So this is kind of a 1-week deal. I want you to double up on your quiet time. If you spend no time in your quiet time, well, that gives you opportunity to spend some time. But if you say, I usually spend about 10 minutes. If you can, double up. Read more. Pray more. Meditate the scriptures. Give him something to work with. And you're going to see your situation begin to change. Why? Because more revelation is going to come. So you want to identify your target. What is that? What is your situation that you're believing God for change? Is it healing? Is it financial? Is it a relationship situation? Is it a financial situation? What is it? Identify your target and then find the word, a scripture that you could begin to pray. Maybe you have a bunch of them or maybe just find one and begin to pray that scripture over your situation. And then I'm going to ask you in praying that to do it 3 times every day. For the next week, we're going to do testimonies next week, and I want to see just what God did in your heart. So, 3 times every day this next week, and then 4, meditate the scripture. If you're used to meditating, great. Do more. Do that. And if you're not used to doing any of it, how about 30 seconds? Set your phone. That's what I do. Because then I'm not like, oh my gosh, what time is it? Do I need to go? I'm like, Terry, it's just this little block of time. But just sit and just think about the scripture. Chew on it. And you'll find it imprints it in you. And it begins to rise up when you need it. It's right there. And then if you're already doing all this, like I said, double up. Double up on it this next week. And we're going to see the power of God. It changes us and it changes our situation. So I think that's all I got for tonight. So this was our session on praying the word. Do y'all have any questions on this? Does anybody have any questions about praying the word? This is a blast of information, but anything? 1, 2, 3. All right. Scott, you want to close?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Excellent. Maybe you've never done what Terry talked about tonight, about praying the word. But I love what she said about when you pray the word, it flushes your mouth. I mean, that's an excellent descriptive word of what happens in the process. Praying the word flushes our mouths. Many of us need our mouth flushed. Amen. We need our mouth flushed like you flush a toilet. We got to get the unbelief out of our life. And putting the word in your mouth and speaking the word over the situation will flush out unbelief. And that faith will help you overcome. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you tonight for your presence. We thank you for your word. And as you promised in Isaiah 55, as we heard tonight, it will create seed for the sower and bread for food. We thank you for the supply that's coming into our lives in the weeks ahead as we apply what we've learned tonight, as we speak your word, pray your word, and honor you with your word, Lord, against every situation we're facing. We thank you that it will bear fruit and it will be supply for us and food for us and nourishment to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you go. We'll see you Sunday.